you, preacher.
Amen. All right, enjoyed the preaching so far this morning. I appreciate the voice that these preachers have, spiritually and literally. I always wished I had a preacher's voice. I used to go out when I first started and just yell at the dogs and yell and yell and yell, but I couldn't get that raspy voice. And so I'm just going to try to be myself, and that's all we can do, and that's all God will use. But sure have appreciated the preaching of the Word of God. The book of Jonah, chapter number 1. And if you'll find your place there, and if you'll stand, we'll read one verse and then let you be seated, and pray that the Lord would help us. When the pastor asked us to have part in the meeting several weeks ago, the Lord nudged our heart about this passage of Scripture. I almost tried to change it in the service last night, but you preachers know that that's not a good thing to do. Change what God has given. And I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Appreciate that preaching from Brother Ledbetter about prayer. And I just found out, most of y'all probably know it, John Mark wasn't around when Jesus was alive. And Mark wrote that epistle. And Peter was the one that instilled truth in John Mark. And when you hear John Mark write, you hear the Apostle Peter. And the men were saying it last night, casting all your care upon Him. And that's Peter speaking. And I tell you, I love the Word of God. And I love God's people. We just want to try to help you this morning. Simple truth, nothing profound. But I believe it's what the Lord has for us this morning. Jonah chapter 1, verse number 17. The Bible said, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." You can be seated. Thank you for standing. But use that verse, verse number 17, and use it as a prepared place. If you've got a Scofield Bible, that prepared place is mentioned 3 or 4 times. Scofield makes light of that. And I'm not looking at those this morning, but this is a prepared place in verse number 17. And I understand that you understand that God prepared it not to sentence Jonah, but to save Jonah. And God allows places to come in our lives that might seem like a sentencing or to sever us. But when it's all said and done, God's going to save us from ourselves and from Satan. And you can apply everything there that you want to. You know about Jonah, how that Jonah rebelled against the will of God. God had revealed the will of God to him in chapter 1, how that he ran from that. He took his own way, made his own way, paid his own way. He even rejected the very word of the Lord. And I was thinking this morning how it seems that the theme of the meeting this morning has centered around prayer. You know, Jonah never prayed about anything till he got in the belly of the whale, because in chapter 2, verse number 1, then Jonah prayed. It might do us good to listen to what these men of God have said this morning. And when God speaks, pray. And when God gives leadership, to pray and to do those things that be pleasing unto Him. But in verse number 1, that's what happened. When he got there, he began to pray. And he's in this arranged place where God has prepared. Jonah's a servant on the run from God, and the sovereign has every right to destroy Jonah. Aren't you glad that God doesn't destroy us when we rebel and reject and run and do all those things that our earthly flesh seems to be prone to do? But what God did is what God always does, is He sends a plan of redemption, and He's going to save Jonah. And we're going down to the end of chapter 2 where Jonah makes that profound statement that salvation is of the Lord. We're not talking about soul salvation in Jonah chapter 2. We're not talking about him getting born again, them words that we like to use, biblical New Testament words. But Jonah is going to understand and testify that this salvation is God saving Jonah's life. And if God could do that this morning to maybe some of these young ones or some of the church people, or God help even preachers here this morning. You know, Brother Dotson, we often allude to the morning cry crowds being off in number and things like that. But you look beyond this building this morning. You look at these pastors and you look at their flocks that will gather tonight. These men that minister on the road a lot and those that they get to preach to. If God would salvage a life, if God would let us realize that the place He has put us, it's not to sentence us. It might be just to save us from our very selves. We could say a lot about that verse in verse number 17, but I want to ask you this morning, has God prepared any situations to save you? You know, you look at it, you wonder if God is judging you or if God is mad at you, but this prepared place that Jonah was in, it was where God would save him from his very self. In verse number 1, and we'll just run through these briefly, but in verse number 1, it's Jonah. You see Jonah's prayer to the Almighty. And as we said, it's the first time he prays in this story. He didn't pray about God's will in his life. He didn't pray about the Word of God that he had received. He didn't even pray about taking his own trip and making his own way. But God had prepared this place, and it's East Tennessee language, but you'll understand what I'm saying. God had prepared this place to learn Jonah to pray. He'll bring places. You'll either hear the preachers and you'll pray, or God will learn you to pray. He'll let you find a place, or God will find you a place where He learns you how to pray. And that's the first thing that Jonah does when he gets in this prepared place, this situation that God has allowed. You remember what Jesus said in John 14. He told Peter, He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." It wasn't Satan. It wasn't anyone that was against the disciples or against Jonah here. But the Savior loves us that much that even when we get wrong with God and even when we rebel against God, that He doesn't throw us away. He doesn't discard us. But God will use these prepared places to work His redemptive power and show His grace. He just loves showing His grace and mercy. He just loves showing how big He is and how good He is and how that there ain't another God like Him. Don't you young people use that word? But there ain't another God like Him. And He wants them to know. And He's gonna showcase that in the life of Jonah right here in chapter number 2. Notice in verse number 2, you hear his plea in his affliction. Jonah said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction." That word affliction, it's number 6869 in your Strong's Concordance. It means adversity. It means anguish. It means distress. We would use it as the first cousin of trouble. You say, "Preacher, you mean God would prepare a place of adversity and anguish and distress? You mean, preacher, God would allow a place to come that might seem like trouble?" That's exactly what He did. He's saving Jonah. He's securing Jonah. But Jonah looks at it as a place of affliction. That's the way we often do. We think God's forsook us, that God's abandoned us. It was Jonah that abandoned God. It was Jonah that ran from God. Jonah said he didn't want to be in the presence. And God said, "You don't want that? I'll let you feel that for a little while." But when it's all said and done, Jonah is going to testify that salvation is of the Lord. Two times in verse 2, he said, "I cried." He said, "Cried I." And it wasn't the sound of his lips that God was waiting to hear. It was the move of his heart. There was nobody going to hear Jonah. We're going to find out in the latter verses, he's at the bottom of the bottom. Have you ever been at the bottom? Preachers aren't going to say that. Have you ever talked to a preacher? You know, you go up. I got on this Facebook thing, so don't y'all preach on Facebook today. But I ain't been on it long. I got hacked one time and I had to get off of it. But you never hear a preacher get on there and say, "We had an awful service yesterday." I wonder if we lie about it sometimes. It was outstanding. Anytime you meet with God. But do you understand? Jonah's at the bottom. Have you ever been at the bottom? bottom. You're being where there ain't no... you can't go any further. He's at the bottom of the bottom. He's in affliction. He's crying unto the Lord. He's in that prepared place where he is pouring out his heart to God. There's nobody else but him and the fish and God there. And I don't know if the fish understands what he's saying, but it's not the words of his lips. It's the move of his heart. That's that work of repentance. It's not so much in what you say. Independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists have learned what to say. But repentance is a work of the heart. God looks on the heart. He's in the belly of what God had created. He's in the very bowels of that great creature. He's in the billows in verse number 3 of that grave, and he feels like he's cut off. Listen to him in verse number 3. Now, I know you've probably never been here, but Jonah makes some powerful... He makes some powerful accusations. He said, "For thou hast cast me into the deep." That's not true. You remember at the end of chapter number 1, Jonah told those men in the boat, he said, "I'm the reason we're in this trouble. I'm the reason the storm's here. Y'all throw me in." But now he's making accusations. But it was in verse number 3, Brother Rackley, a while back I was reading this, and it just dawned on me, and y'all already know this. Chapter 2's past tense. Jonah's looking back. He's recording and rehearsing what happened in days gone by. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've accused God of some things. I didn't understand what God was doing. It wasn't God that so much, I know in His sovereignty God allowed it. However, as it was said last night, God may have permitted it. But it was Jonah that said, "Y'all cast me in and throw me in." But now looking back, Jonah found out that God's in control of it all. He said, "Thou hast," in verse number 3, "Thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. When he started looking back, things looked a little different. He realized that God was in the midst of his rebellion and his rejection. Not that God condoned it, but God was going to love him in spite of it. I'm glad that he loves us. The old writer I like to read after, he said, "Sweet is the memory of perils past, and how that God loves us in spite of ourselves." You know, Jonah, I wrote my name, J-I-M-B-O, above Jonah in my Bible, because I can relate a lot to him. If anybody deserved to be cast out and thrown out, it was Jonah. But God loved him. You know the story of Jonah. He's prejudiced. He's got some serious problems. But out of everybody in the Old Testament that God would use, it just God showcasing His glory and His mercy. Look at verse number 4. Look at verse number 4. He said, "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." Now where's he at? He's in the belly of the whale. He can't see no farther than those bars that he called them. I don't know if it's the rib. I don't know what it was. That's just what he called it. But he's not looking with the natural eye. He's looking with the spiritual eye. But what I want to draw out of verse number 4 is that one little word. He said, "I will look again toward thy holy temple." I'm glad that God is a God of agains. That God will give another again. And God will let him try one more time and let him go again. The brethren may not do that. I know some Baptists that they're never going to do that. But I'm glad that God is a God of again. And we need to understand that as we preach to our people. That God's let us get up again. And God's let us go again. And God has used us again. And if He can do that for us, He can do that for them. I'm glad that we have a God of agains in the life of Jonah. In verse 5 and 6, there's a picture of his attrition. He's looking back now. He said in verse 5, "The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head." This is nothing deep, but when I saw that phrase where he said that the weeds were wrapped about my head, that reminds me of our minds. I don't know about you, but I understand a little bit of what Peter and Paul talked about in the New Testament about that warfare of the mind and girding up the loins of your mind. I'm telling you, that seaweed, it was wrapping around his head. And to me, that gets at that picture that his mind's messed up. He's not thinking right. We got to be careful about keeping our thought process right, as Brother Ledbetter just preached to us. One old writer said, seaweed entangles the strong. A swimmer, the more one struggles, the more he gets entwined. And that just seems to be the way this mental warfare is. The more we struggle in the flesh, the more we try to figure it out, the more we try to plan it out, it just seems like you get more entangled and more entwined. He said, my head's messed up, my thinking's messed up, I'm not looking right. He said, the billows have compassed me about, it's overwhelmed me, it's overcome me. We're going to understand why he's going to say salvation is of the Lord. Because Jonah can't get out. Jonah can't pray his way out, witness his way out, preach his way out. It's going to take God to get him out. And salvation is of the Lord. Notice what he said in verse 6. That entrance, that experience of suffering. He said, I went down to the bottoms of the sea, of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. And it looked bad right there. And I wished I'd have studied the English language more when I was in school. But that one little word right there, yet. Hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Jonah is, it's not that his soul, he's not getting saved. He's not his soul. You understand that? God is going to save his life. And if God could do that for someone this morning, salvage a life, a ministry, a marriage, a church, salvation is of the Lord. You know, Jonah, I was reading this morning trying to find out because I knew there'd be preachers here. I wanted to know who wrote the book of Jonah. Well, they didn't know either. I mean, you know, after a little while, you just find out if you don't know, they don't know. Half of them believe somebody else wrote it. Half of them believe Jonah wrote it. I know that it's Jonah doing the talking in chapter number 2. He's talking about that place of suffering, that prepared place. Brother Ledbetter just preached about the end of all things. I may preach that. We got some of our people here, so you just forget that. There will come an end of suffering. It may take heaven. Brother Ray Vaughn used to sing years ago. It may take heaven holds a healing. It may take heaven to heal some situations. The end of all things is at hand. Notice what he said there in verse number 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. He's praying. He's making prayer. Jonah can't get out. But I'm glad there's a person that's able. We know that he's rebelled against the will of God, ran from the way of God, rejected the word of God. But he didn't get out of the reach of a wonderful Savior. There's no one here this morning saved by the grace of God that's not out of the Savior. I used to say when I first started, I'm not the oldest pastor here, but I'm not the youngest anymore. My hair's got gray. I used to say because of the preachers I was around, I'd get that, you know, that bulldog in me. I'd say they look better going than they do coming. That's not true. Because usually when they go, they're taking others with them. And little families with them. Little children with them. Salvation is of the Lord. Let me close by saying this. You get down to verse number... Where is it at there? In verse number 8. Verse number 9. He said, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. And there it is. Salvation is of the Lord. He talked about his soul fainting in verse number 7. But he says that statement that we've heard for years, that salvation is of the Lord. I was just thinking, you know, I said the Lord didn't speak in chapter 2, but the Lord does speak. And he speaks in that last verse, in verse number 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish. What was that fish? It was that prepared place. Can you imagine when God speaks to your prepared place? We don't know what God said to the fish. I've heard them say, you know, that Baptist preacher can't stay in there that much longer. He is a Baptist preacher and the fish got sick and threw him up on the other side. I don't know. But I want to think that the Lord might have said to that prepared place, it is enough. Have you ever been in those prepared places where it seemed so dark, you didn't know if you'd ever see the sun shine again? Preacher Shook talked about when Brother Dean made the cross. The first tent meeting I ever preached was in Harriman, Tennessee with Brother Dean. Brother Dean could preach to you, cut you up one side and down the other, but you just loved him because he's so kind and generous. But I remember them talking about that illness that he went through, those prepared places where you learn things about God and you learn things about yourself. I've never had many of them in my life. I've had a few of them. The Lord let a prepared place come in my life when my brother left this world. Not a lot of people like to talk about it, but He did. He took his life. God's will. We'd all do it. I'd already be gone. It's not God's will. That's not the way out. But in the midst of all of that, it was a prepared place. I've learned things, and I'm not bragging, please don't take it like that, but I've learned things about God that I'd have never known had it not been for that prepared place. But I'm glad when the Lord said, it is enough. I don't know what He said to that fish, but I know Jonah got out of that prepared place. And can I say this? There was a chapter 3 and a chapter 4 in his life. There's a chapter 3 and 4 in your life. You say, preacher, I've run from the will of God. I've messed up. You can't have done no worse than Jonah. There can be a chapter 3 and 4 in your life. Don't put down the pen just yet. I'm glad God's able. The salvation in Jonah chapter 2, it wasn't soul salvation. He saved his life. If God could do that today, it'd be well worth the trip. I think a lot of times we don't want to admit that we're human. I was thinking this morning, Brother Ledbetter, Brother Trent, and other men around here, Brother Scott Jr., Dr. Scott Jr., he's not pastoring yet. His heart, he probably will. I didn't like hearing that either when I was a young preacher. But you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for pastors. There's churches in our area, people, you can't find a pastor. There's a generation coming up, Brother Rackley, they've got enamored by this lights of this road out here. And it's almost as if they think pastoring has become second class. The pastors do the work of an evangelist. I've never found out where the evangelists do the work of a pastor. If God could salvage one pastor, we may not come to the altar, we may not stand and testify, but it's a work of the heart. It's not always in the lips, but it's a work of the heart. Thank you, preacher.
Amen. You need to come this morning. Bow your head again just a minute, if you would. Maybe somebody, there's no doubt somebody needed that, not a maybe about it.